Blog Talk Radio.
We're just listening to Keith Chagall's Flight of the Monarchs. That is just such a beautiful, uplifting tune. I just had to play that for the show. Well, welcome. Welcome. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, February 11th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And we have our new segment. It's still going forward. It's been a big hit, Serious Reservations. And the lovely thing about Serious Reservations this week is that my special guest today will be adding her expertise, her experiences as a foodie around the world, and we'll share some food tips and whatever, and it'll be a lot of fun. Well, we do love hearing from you here at How to Be Comfortable, and we'd love for you to participate live on air by dialing 347-857-2710, and you can chat with us live, ask questions or comments, and we are here until 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Well, my guest today is known to her followers on Twitter as the Booth Lady, and I think I might need a little more explaining on that name. She is the owner of Event Specialists International and Expo Rentals. I'm not saying that correctly. I just went through that. Expo Rentals. There we go. ExpoRentals.com. And with the use of modern technology, she's coming to us live from Hawaii. So please give a big aloha to Charlene Dave. Hey, Tooch.
Aloha. Hey, Lauren. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I just want to let our viewers, our listeners, and people can be viewing because they can be listening and viewing us on their computer. So I guess even though this is radio, people can be viewing us, that we have been friends for quite a while, and your name, Tucci, is a nickname that you use, so that's how I'm going to address you today.
Yes.
Tucci, I kind of like it. It's Italian, you're Italian, and why not?
Right, and it's kind of an abbreviation of my maiden name, Tolucci, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think that works.
Or, you know, if it doesn't, too bad. That's what's happening.
That's what I'm calling you. There you go.
There you go. That's what I'm calling you. So there you have it. So how you have it. So it was interesting. You know, I mentioned the Serious Reservations food segment that, but we met in a very interesting way.
Yep, we did. We actually met in San Francisco. I was taking my daughter, Jackie, to college. She went to the San Francisco Art Institute in San Francisco, and we were sitting in a lovely little French restaurant. Lauren, do you remember the name of the restaurant? Because I don't,
but I know.
It was a tiny little restaurant.
It was south of Market, you know, that hot area at the time. It looked like an industrial part of town south of Market in San Francisco, for those people that are familiar with the Bay Area.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. But it was one of those restaurants that was hot at that time.
Yes. And everyone was, you know, typical San Francisco, sitting very close to each other. And Jackie and I were sitting there, and you took out your business card and gave it to the waiter. And I said to Jackie, well, she's either concierge or food critic. So then we started taking bets on what you did. So that's how we met.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we were taking cab rides all over San Francisco together.
Yes,
how many cab drivers did we meet?
I don't know. We met a bunch of them, but we had a blast for like 3 or 4 days until you headed back to Los Angeles, and we've been friends ever since.
That's right. How long? I was trying to think the other day how long ago that was. Maybe I must be 10 years. Is it?
Has
I don't know.
To be.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. Has to be 10 years.
Wow. See, we were having so much fun, it just flew by.
I know. But you were asking about Booth Lady?
Yeah, so tell me about the Booth Lady.
Well, Booth Lady, I was thinking, because I've been in the trade show and event industry for a long time, and I handle a lot of different elements within the trade show business, I thought, well, what can I be on Twitter? I thought, well, Booth Lady. There you go. It's very simple. It says exactly what I do. So I just started tweeting about trade show related segments of interest and have built up quite a nice following. It's really kind of, it's been fun. I have not figured out how do you, do you want to monetize something like this? Do you try to, you know, enhance your business through it? Or does it just serve kind of as a PR function? I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what other people have done.
Yeah, I mean, if our listeners have any ideas about that, that would be some helpful knowledge to share. You have 33,000 plus.
Yes.
That's a small city somewhere in the United States.
I know, it's amazing.
It's amazing. I don't know if you've experienced this on your local news in Hawaii, but here on the newscast, if they go through, what do they call that, a breaking story? Like a breaking story, right.
Yeah.
They say, we just got it off Twitter. That's how immediate it is. They, like you just mentioned, they're using Twitter as a PR tool.
Well, and also it's just, it's incredible the amount of information. I mean, that's how I first found out that before I saw it on the news that Michael Jackson had died. I just and saw that President Clinton was hospitalized for chest pains. So,
but it's kind of, remember that old, the game he used to play, telephone?
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you tell me something and I pass it on, and unfortunately, in telephone, sometimes the initial message is not necessarily the end message. But
easy. I think it's easy enough to retweet the same message. So I don't know that it's quite like telephone. I just think it's very organic. It's just amazing how it works. And I think we really saw the strength of it during the whole Iran thing, you know, with all the demonstrations and the like. That's how news got out.
And plus, I think because of the kind of a government that Iran has, and this is their so-called freedom,
right?
Even though some, like China, is trying to, you know, hack into people's computers, but this is a way the younger generation can stay in touch with the world, and that's what it's become. It's just very interesting.
Right.
So by tweeting people about event specialists and being the Booth Lady, has that helped you build your business as far as getting your name out there to people who don't know what you do? Tell me about event specialists and exactly what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a reseller for a lightweight portable trade show booth. We also design larger booths that, for example, it would be a more rather than an already built booth, we would design it and have it manufactured. We design graphics, manage a larger booth at trade shows, events at trade shows. So we really do a lot of things within the trade show industry. Also, my website, exporentals.com, you can rent booths, you know, anywhere in the U.S. and have it installed for you. Can make
so they're prefab, depending on the dimensions, right?
Well, it can be. You know, we can also customize it to whatever our clients' needs are. So it's pretty cool because I think a lot of people in this past year have done a lot more rentals than they have purchase of new booths or redoing booths. They've actually just rented. So because a lot of companies' budgets have been squeezed, so. And in a nutshell, that's what I do, and it's pretty cool.
And I get to live in
Hawaii.
What are some of the most interesting trade shows that you've done that are so unique?
Well, I don't know that you know they're so unique, but they're. I think as far as interesting, I love doing trade shows overseas, and I've been in. We've exhibited in trade shows in Berlin, UK and different parts of North America. So I don't know, every show has its own differences in uniqueness and challenges, depending on what hall you're in and what the unions are like, if there are unions or no unions. And that's kind of what makes it exciting, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, is your booth actually going to make it to the show?
If you're overseas somewhere. And,
well, even in the U.S., I think one of my favorite trade show stories is this guy who was standing at an empty booth with a sign saying, you know, my booth never made it. So the booth just never showed up, and he had to have a sign made up with the name of the company and the story of why he was standing in an empty booth, which actually generated a lot of traffic for him, because he was a pretty funny guy. But
you
just
also
never know what's going to happen.
Here's maybe an instance of taking how to be comfortable in your own shoes. Here's an opportunity to be a little uncomfortable and how to take that situation and make it work for you. Here everybody had a booth in the hall, and he was one without one. So he was what was different, and so people would come to him.
Right, and I think, too, you always have a choice. You can either freak out, or you can turn what is possibly a negative. You got to be able to turn it around into a positive, because the show's going to go on with or without you. So
that's right.
So I think that's
right.
Really important. I mean, it's very important to be able to turn the adversity into something positive.
Yeah, but they're always, in my way of thinking, they're always good, because it teaches you to hone another skill, or if you already have a certain strength in a certain area that's been dormant for a while, this gives you an opportunity to use that strength and
right, whether you want to or not.
Exactly. And
whether you want to.
Because
sometimes it's miserable.
It is. It's because you just don't want to. And
right.
Like you said, things go on whether you're there on the
miserable
bus.
Miserable or happy or not. Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I guess for some people, you just have to do the primordial scream and then move forward with how you're going to handle the situation.
Well, it's like the guy who had a graphic where the word, he was in the financial business, and his graphic had the word capital misspelled. And there you have a choice. You either are mortified, or you turn it into something like a contest where who can find the error in my booth, you know, wins X, Y, or Z. So you just, I really think that as far as, especially the whole topic of being comfortable in your shoes,
mm-hmm.
it's I think very often about turning adversity, turning it around so that it becomes a positive rather than a negative in your life. So.
Exactly, and sometimes when you are too comfortable, you can become complacent, and then you're stuck.
Right.
So sometimes if you're just kind of on the edge of feeling uncomfortable, you have a sense of you're vulnerable, that's where all the magic lies, actually. So if you can just be able to put yourself out there, even by taking a small step, you'll be able to experience something. We don't know what that is, and so that's the risk. We take. And, you know, just like your sign with the misspelling of the capital, those are the little freak accidents that generate more publicity or attention to oneself. There was a little bit on the local news last night about the college basketball from Kentucky, and they took a group photo. And you
mm-hmm.
see all the basketball players wearing their uniforms that say Kentucky, but there was one guy whose shirt, on his shirt, Kentucky was misspelled. It was Kentucky.
No.
And it's like, who? You often wonder, don't people look at that? Or how does all of them say Kentucky, but this says Kentucky or something like that? It's just amazing. It's craziness.
Yeah.
Well, you also deal with people in Hawaii, you're doing a bear with me a minute. I made some copious notes about you.
Did you just on what on the on what else I do in Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm having a little brain fade right now.
Oh, well, I also do program management work for a high-end destination management
destinations.
Company.
Thank you.
Yep. So
yeah, mine's always.
We handle high-end incentives that come into Hawaii, as well as small luxury groups, you know, multi-generational groups and the like. And that's always, you never know what's going to happen with that, because you're always dealing with lots of different people. And but it's
what's
but
a multi-generational group?
Well, for example, there's a trend where you've got, say, a set of grandparents who are traveling with their kids and grandkids together to different destinations. So that's considered a multi-generational group. Or let's say, for example, somebody's going to have a destination wedding and multiple generations and friends are coming out for the wedding, and it's a high-end wedding, and they want to do, they're out here for a week or 10 days, and they want to arrange activities, special events, unique events, pre and post the wedding, that type of thing. So it's pretty cool. It's very,
so you do business as well as pleasure events, private as well as corporations, people who want to do take their CEOs, thanking them for their, you know, for their business. They want to go to Hawaii and
right, like, you know, that might be their top salespeople. So
incentive trips.
And so that's actually, it's been an interesting last year. I think was an interesting year because I think so many companies decided not to have incentive trips, but you know, you have to incentivize your people, because they actually perform better when they have incentives. So it's just, I think, kind of a human factor.
Isn't that I'm being facetious when I say this, but isn't that a concept? And hello, if you pat your employee on the back and say, thank you for doing X amount of business for us, here's a little token of our appreciation.
Right. Yeah, no, it works very, very well. It's it really goes without saying. So
I guess that's my, you know, pet peeve in some of the things that I've been associated with in small businesses, that people are always looking at employees as costing them money instead of making them money. It's about, and I think that now is a perfect time because of the economy. And Obama's always talking about this, especially for small businesses, is to hire people, that you hire the appropriate person, someone who is qualified to help you, and you pay them a decent salary, that they will make you money and not cost you money.
Right. Well, and I think that's obviously one of the keys is, you know, running a tight, streamlined operation, hiring the right people, and incentivizing them, you know, and results should flow, you know. So.
Yeah, well, it sounds like taking like in a car wash, like you're sanitizing, you know. It has a little energy thing to it when you incentivize. I like that.
Yes.
It's got to flow. Don't forget, folks, incentivize. Woo,
incentivize, that's right.
Or the, you know, the I Love Lucy with the vitamin and Vegemin. Don't forget to incentivize. That's
right.
So is tourism up in Hawaii? Has the economy affected the island visitation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, absolutely. Hawaii was definitely hit by the whole economic downturn, but I don't think as badly as some other destinations, for example, like Las Vegas or even the Caribbean last year. So I feel like we're actually somewhat fortunate in comparison to some of our fellow, you know, other destinations. But you know, you Hawaii is an incredible place. It's a beautiful place to live. Actually, yesterday I had an appointment out on the North Shore with a client, and I was driving along, and the ocean was to my right, and there were 18 to 20-foot waves. And last night, we were expecting 30 to 35-foot waves, and it was really pretty amazing, you know, very, very lucky to live here.
Yes, and you're on Oahu.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on Oahu. Do you have a favorite island?
No, because honestly, each one is so different and so unique. I just love going to each one and enjoying it in a different way than the others. So
here's an interesting question. And so, concerning what you do with this incentivize, I think that's our word for the day.
Incentivize. Mm-hmm.
So, if somebody is planning a trip to Hawaii for the first time and can only, this would be their first and perhaps last trip to Hawaii, and they had one island, you know, because I get that. I've been to Hawaii a few times, several islands, and people say, so where should I go first? What would be the best island to go to first? And like you said, each island has its own color and feel to it. What would you recommend?
I think in part it also depends on the person and the type of things that they really enjoy, because they can certainly, for example, Oahu has much more city life, more nightlife, although it has gorgeous, gorgeous beaches and just some very neat things to go see. We have the only royal palace in all of the United States.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Is it King Kamehameha?
Well, it's Iolani Palace, so there was more than one king that lived in it, but it's really pretty neat. And like I said, it's the only place in the U.S. that has a royal palace. And then if you go to the Big Island or Hawaii Island, you've got the volcano, which has, been erupting for quite a while. And so it's continuing to grow as the lava goes into the ocean. And then you have, the side of the island that is very, very dry. You go around and it's more like rainforest. It's very diverse. It's just beautiful. And then, of course, you've got Kauai, where known as the Garden Isle, and it's exquisite, too. It's just...
It's true. It's very true.
It's really hard to pick. And then you've got Maui. You know, Maui is just, I love going to Maui, too. It's just, and each side of the island is different. And it's great going up, on the top of the mountain where you're really literally above the clouds. So
I did that. That was a trek. That was one of those. I was at a, not Wailea, but the other side of Maui that's windier.
Oh, Kapalua.
Kapalua, yes. And I planned an excursion to join a group of people on this, a little hike. And we drove to some area, and then we hiked up this, I think it was some kind of mountain. It was steep, and it was just beautiful. There was aloe vera on the side of the path, and the guy just cut a little bit of the aloe vera plant, and he says, here you go. Take this back to your shower. but it was quite breathtaking, and you're right. There's so many different vistas from so many different points of view, and Hawaii is a magical place to go to. It really is.
No, it's very, very beautiful. And then you've even up in Haleakala on Maui, you've got those incredible hikes and in the crater, and actually, I've never been to Hana. I have yet
really?
To Hana. Yes, that's actually on my to-do list. I very much want to go to Hana.
The road to Hana. I haven't been there either, so you'll have to report back to me.
Yes. Yeah, after I go to Hana, we can get back together and
talk
about it. The road to Hana.
I know. But I guess maybe it takes a certain type of individual to permanently live on the island, because you often hear that people who do live on Hawaii, they're often asked, do you ever get island fever?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, for me, I travel a fair amount. So I'm not here 365 days of the year. You know, I actually go other places, but I love traveling. I have a passion for traveling. So, but it's always great to come home. And
that's
it's really interesting because, you know, I was talking yesterday with a gal in Philadelphia who was in the middle of the blizzard. She said to me, "You're very cruel."
Poor people.
Yeah. So they've really gotten hammered with the snow, and I'm driving along, and it's 81 degrees, and you know, we got the ocean and the sun shining, and so we really do have very idyllic weather.
Yes,
so,
yes, you do, as we do here in Los Angeles with supposedly 80 degrees in temperature within the next few days, and it's only the second week of February.
Right.
We've just been doused with rain. Noah and his ark have been here. We've just about captured the 2x2, but one never knows. And California being, especially Los Angeles being a desert, it's not really built to handle the downpour, the deluge of this type of rain. So it just creates havoc on the road. It ain't pretty.
Right.
That's all I can say. It ain't pretty.
Well, I think that they were, I just saw this morning that it looks like they might be getting some snow up in Vancouver, which would help with the Winter Olympics, because I had read that they're actually going to be, they've been helicoptering snow in.
Isn't that funny? When
oh
you think
God.
About it. It's Canada, for God's sakes. You know, it sounds like Minnesota. It's Canada. We're Whistler, there's snow there, and you're right. I read about them trucking in snow. I just find that funny.
Yeah, just poor things. I feel for them because it's got to be a nightmare to be dealing with that, you know, with all these, you know, this huge influx of people, and they're all there to see all these winter events, and tough place to be in.
I think it would be very interesting if somebody did a documentary or a story about an Olympic host city after the Olympics have passed and what happens to that city. You know, what happens to some of the venues that were built especially to host a particular sport or whatnot. Are they?
Right.
I think it's interesting because cities that win the bid, they spend a lot of money to beautify their city for the world because they want to show their best side.
Right.
And of course, they generate a lot of revenue from tourists and whatnot. But, you know, what happened? What's on the other side?
Right. I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a very good question. I don't know. I wonder if a lot of these buildings end up being unused. I did read that in London they're trying to build stuff that is going to be reusable, that they're going to that won't just kind of sit empty afterwards.
Well, you
so
would think
I
that
think
would go into the planning process. If you're going to spend in excess of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, that you would build something that, of course, you could recoup some of that investment.
Right, and you know, and have it be useful, you know, so even afterwards.
Exactly. That's so exciting. And well, you lived abroad. You lived in Italy for a while, didn't you?
Yes, I actually grew up in Milano. And
can you say that again? Wait, can you just say Milano again?
Milano.
I love it.
There you go. You love that.
I love when you talk Italian. When you speak Italian, oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh my God, yeah, no, it was a great, great place to grow up, and we went to Italian schools and. It was just wonderful. I mean, Italy is just another, next to Hawaii, is just a real passion of mine, and I get back there as often as I can. The food is great, the wine is good, and the people are a hoot. You got to embrace chaos.
Really? Really? It's Italy, but in parentheses, it's chaotic?
You got to embrace chaos to enjoy Italy, yes.
Really? Why is that? Because I always think Italy is laid back, kind of whenever, and very, very casual.
It is, but there's also an element, a fairly, I think, chaotic element. Let me give you an example. A year ago, we were in Italy, and I was taking taxi from the port in Naples to the train station. And it was insane. It was just the traffic was coming from every direction, and the people are beeping the horns, and boom, he hits the car. Keeps right on going, doesn't even stop. And he's like, "Señora, I'm getting you to the train station." I'm like, "Okay." So it's great. It's just it's a great place, and I think in part because of some of the chaos, you know. So
well, the people are so warm and friendly.
Yes.
I find, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you're a foodie. I enjoy food myself, but in Italy, even the dirt tastes good. I don't know what it is. It's the soil. It must be part of the, you know, the volcanoes. I don't know what it is. Minerals. It's just so delicious. You don't have to have haute cuisine in order to really taste the flavor of the country and the food.
Well, I think in part it's really interesting because you can take the same ingredients and cook the same thing in the U.S., and it absolutely tastes different from when you eat it in Italy. And I don't know if a big part of it is that just even in everyday cooking, a lot of the food is locally grown. It's not trucked in from hundreds of miles away. So the tomatoes have probably been, you know, grown by a local farmer, same with the salad and so on. So I think that probably plays a role in it as well.
Probably, and also I think you want to recapture that moment that, let's say, you had a bolognese. It was at night. The weather was mild, but there was heat. You know, you want to create that whole environment, and it's impossible. And so that bolognese dish in the United States or anywhere else, it's not going to taste good because the environment is completely different, too. You're with somebody different, or there are more Americans or whatever. And so I always kind of want to create my trips back at home.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a tendency to want to do that because, you know, especially if you've had a magical time and it just everything tastes better, looks better.
It does.
Feels better.
It does.
So
it does.
I think... You know, in part, yes, it's the fresh food, but it's also, I think, about the environment and how you feel within that environment that helps to create the experience. So, I mean, like, for example, we were on the island of Ischia in this wonderful restaurant that specialized in pizza, and pizza in the area of Naples is very famous. I mean, they take it kind of to new heights and, you know, grow their own yeast and so on. But this restaurant was marvelous. We were the only non-Ischians in the restaurant. And this fellow came in with an accordion, and so they started playing the accordion. Well, people just started singing in the restaurant. And finally this old guy gets up, and he's singing O Sole Mio, which is a beautiful, beautiful Neapolitan love song. And then he came over to our table to sing to us because he knew that we weren't, you know, from there. And it was like something out of Central Casting. It was just marvelous, just a beautiful experience.
Exactly. And those experiences you treasure forever, and you can never recreate them because it's part of the people, the culture. And most of the time you're on a vacation.
Right.
You're more relaxed. You hopefully leave all the stresses at home, and here you can enjoy yourself. And it's a beautiful thing. Italy is one of my favorite countries. I think I would like to rent a villa, and I think you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah. In fact, every time, because we have a blended family, we have five kids, and so it's an entourage whenever we go anywhere, and so it's much more cost effective to rent a villa, And it's great fun. You know, if you rent a villa with a pool and you can relax and do your own cooking, you don't have to eat every meal out if you don't want to. And there's always plumbing issues. I don't know what it is in Italy.
Yeah.
There's always a plumbing issue. But, you know, that's part of the charm, I guess. So.
Exactly. And since we're on the topic of food,
yes,
let's get started with our little serious reservation segment, and please join me. I found out something very interesting. Someone had sent me an email about a company called Conceptic. It's an Israeli company, and they have what they call an e-menu, and it's a computer-based menu off of an LCD screen. So there's this particular dim sum restaurant in Israel that you go in, and you have this screen on your table, and you place the order for the food yourself. So they have no waiters, no waiting, and there are these wonderful pictures of sushi and all the other dishes at this restaurant, and you kind of plug that in.
Well, then how do you get the food?
Well, somebody will serve it to you.
Oh.
Nobody, you say, yo, Morty, I just plugged it in. Where is it?
I plugged it in. There's no service.
Yeah, this is where technology has gone, and Israel is, look, they came up with the cell phone. They designed the technology for the cell phone, so they're somewhat advanced, a little more advanced. I just want to give out the CEO of the company, Conceptic, is Adi Chitayat. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the COO is Idan Sandomirsky. And they have 12 of these screens, 12 restaurants in Israel have this technology, as well as France, Belgium, and South Africa. So I'm sure it's going to be coming to the States.
How do you spell Conceptic?
C like Charlie, O, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, E, P, Peter, T, Tom, I, C. Their website is www.israel21C.net, and you can check them out and see this little...
Interesting.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I'm sure you might have been to some restaurants where they have... The waiters have a handheld device. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Where instead of writing your order down on a pad of paper and then going to their computer screen to place the order, they just plug it in on this handheld computer, which goes directly to the kitchen.
Very cool. Well,
yeah.
Let me ask you, though, how does it work? Let's say you want something a little bit different.
Well, I guess it could be customized to the type of restaurant you are. So if you want to say hold this or hold that or blah, 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 then I'm sure you can't. I think more and more companies, this is how I feel sometimes, they want to do away with people. Don't you ever see, especially some of the banks like Wells Fargo, you can use our ATM machines.
Right, for everything.
Everything.
The airport. It's like getting on an airplane, for God's sake.
That's right. I'm going to charge you for... What did I just... There was just a thing on American Airlines. It's $50 if you want to go standby. Well, why don't you just let me fly the plane myself?
Right. Pretty soon we'll be paying to go in and use the bathroom on the airplane.
Use the bathroom. But it's ridiculous. Recently, I don't know if Hawaii has this, we have a program... For 2 weeks, usually around the wintertime, the end of January to the beginning of February, it's called Dine Out LA, where some of these restaurants participate in a Dine LA program, and you offer a prefix meal if you want to participate for lunch or dinner at a more modest price. Well, who do you think one of the sponsors of this program was?
American Airlines.
Okay, so you're putting money and you're sponsoring food, but yet you're charging me $8 for a pillow and a blanket?
I know.
Okay, that's not comfortable in my own shoes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's a shame because I think that travel doesn't have to be, it just doesn't have to be that bad. It doesn't have to be that way. But unfortunately, and I understand, obviously, you're in business to make money, but I think that if you are just driven by the bottom line, and only the bottom line, it just, I don't know, takes...
You know what? It's very true. It's very true. People say, well, when you look at some of the restaurants around L.A. recently, they're not busy anymore. Wouldn't you rather have a full house for maybe a little bit less money?
Yeah.
Than sticking to a top dollar and not having anybody there?
Right.
But that would be my interpretation. There have been articles about these winemakers who make very expensive Cabernets, et cetera, and they're saying, mm-hmm. well, we're like a fine piece of jewelry. We don't have to lower our price. There still are those very wealthy people that will afford X, Y, and Z, but a lot of these people, they're not spending either.
Right, they aren't. And so they don't have to drink it either.
That's
you know?
True. I just find there are so many wonderful wines from all over the world that are modestly priced. And
yes.
This Dine LA that I mentioned, it was very successful. And the reason being, especially in these times, that it's wonderful food at modest prices that people can
right.
afford.
Right.
I mean, people still want to have a life. So
right. and,
why not
and
make
I
it?
Don't, I don't know that it has to be an expensive wine to be a good wine. I mean, it does not have to be that way. You can get some really nice wines that are actually at decent prices.
That's very true. Look, the wines from South America
mm-hmm.
are delicious, but it's funny. Don't you find sometimes if an item is $5, well, it's interesting about pricing. If you price something too inexpensive, people have a notion that it's not very good.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly.
I mean, all of these, you know, all these sayings have some truth to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also on a case-by-case basis. I mean,
absolutely.
I was just in New Orleans, and let's hear it for the Saints.
Go Saints! Isn't that
yes.
a Cinderella story? Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes, love that. Who dat? I am now a Saints
Who
dat? Fan. I was in New Orleans during the first playoff game, and I have never experienced such spirit across the board in an entire city. It was a marvelous experience. But I discovered this wonderful spirit called Cat Daddy Moonshine. And Cat Daddy Moonshine is quite delicious. It's not from New Orleans. But if you go to this, it's a great restaurant called Cochon, which is a pig-centric restaurant. They serve Cat Daddy Moonshine. And,
is it? Do you just drink it straight, or do you mix it with something?
Well, I thought on the dessert menu, Chef had a root beer float. And, you know, he had suggested drinks with each dessert, and I saw Cat Daddy Moonshine, and so I said to my colleagues who I was with, okay, you have to drink something called Cat Daddy Moonshine.
Exactly.
You can't just ignore it. So we ordered it, and it was just marvelous. It was a wonderful pairing, and it was just delicious. It was like in a little shot glass, cold, and it was fabulous.
So you throw it back? Is it and then you chase it with something?
No. Just we only ordered wine so we could taste it, and so we all tasted it, and it was just fabulous.
Is it clear? Is it a clear liquor?
Yes, it's clear, and it's infused, but it's a secret what it's infused with.
It's infused with Cat Daddy.
But it was I don't know. I picked up allspice and cinnamon. And vanilla. It was just fantastic.
It sounds like a man's aftershave, you know? Like what a... Like what a New Orleans man might smell like. A little vanilla, allspice.
Oh, it was great. Just great. But.
And speaking of, you know, you're such a good segue person because not
yes.
only are you a talented woman and your five children are very talented, but your daughter, Jackie... is a mixologist in San Francisco, and she just won the Marie Brizard Cocktail Challenge, and
mm-hmm.
she's made some fabulous cocktails herself. The baby doll is like, doesn't that sound like, it looks beautiful. It looks like a mint julep-ish type of cocktail, and I'm trying to get your daughter on their show, and we can be drinking these baby dolls as we have the
interview.
Yes,
as you chat. Yeah,
as I chat.
She really is has an amazing gift. She just has an incredible palette, and I don't know where she comes up with these, but she just creates these beautiful, beautiful drinks, and they're delicious. They're very, very good.
They look delicious.
Very balanced. I think that's the thing, that her drinks are balanced. They're sophisticated. And they're complex without being complicated. You know what I mean?
I like that. That's a great tagline for her. Complex without being complicated.
Without being complicated.
I love that. Ooh. Ooh. But yes. You know what? We were talking about this, you and I, about Jackie and where she, mm-hmm. you just mentioned where she got this talent. As an artistic person, you mentioned she went to an art school in San Francisco and
right.
photography, design. I think when you have an artistic sensibility, it just takes time in finding what area you're
right.
best suited for. So
right.
she's finding that all her artistic sensibilities are beautifully expressed in cocktails and in being a mixologist, mixing together. You know, it's like the palette. It's the design.
Right.
And I think it's fabulous. These kinds of drinks are coming back now, the old fashions and the Manhattans and... And sometimes when I don't know what to drink, if I want a cocktail before dinner, I always like to look at the cocktail list, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
some very interesting things.
Yeah,
about this. And I learned this. Marie Brizard is a very fine liqueur,
mm-hmm.
and that we really don't know about, because I think most restaurants tend to. They want to sell things that people are familiar with.
Well, and I think too that, but I think there's a real resurgence of these artisanal liqueurs, and creating these new wonderful creative drinks. So I think that a lot of restaurants, like for example Heaven's Dog, where Jackie works, they have a beautiful bar and some very talented mixologists that work there. So I think it's really nice to see, because the cocktail is an American invention. It was created by Americans.
Do you know where the name cocktail came from? Here's a little bit
no,
of
No, I don't. No,
oh,
you tell
this
me.
Is, this is what I so love about language, is that you can take a word and you can trace it back a little bit in history. From what I'm told, the word cocktail, I'm not quite sure exactly the date of the word, but somewhere in the 18th century, at a pub, an English pub, where the alcoholic beverages were poured into a mug, like a
mm-hmm.
pewter mug. They didn't have
mm-hmm.
glass. And so in order to distinguish what type of drink you were drinking, they would take
mm-hmm.
the tail of a cock and put it in the drink. So that would be the cocktail.
Ah, marvelous.
I mean, all those little... there's some other ones, what the rule of thumb is.
Mm-hmm.
Something about it. I think you couldn't beat your wife. This is so funny. Beat, not funny. I don't want anybody calling about it. It's not funny beating your wife, but where expressions come from and
right.
how they change their meaning over the years. The rule of thumb, I guess, you couldn't beat your wife with a stick larger than the rule of your thumb.
Oh, that's horrible.
So, and how these things change.
Aren't you glad that we have come so far?
Oh my God, I'm so glad, because you know.
Yes.
Don't touch a woman, period. Leave her be unless she says yes. That's all I can
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, have you eaten at a really good restaurant lately, or tried a new restaurant in L.A.?
Not well, there's a lovely neighborhood restaurant in Silver Lake
mm-hmm.
called Domenico Ristorante. It's on,
mm-hmm.
for those L.A. listeners, it's on Silver Lake Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Italian food. It's delicious Italian food. It's a small, intimate, casual elegance, if you want to say. It's very
mm-hmm.
casual, but it's elegant in its decor and its food, pastas. It's delicious. I really love them. They have a nice, I would say it seats about 50 people, and they
mm-hmm.
have an enclosed patio in the front, which is lovely. Even in the winter, there's a heater there. That's really nice. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying a new restaurant tonight called East in Hollywood. Hollywood has become the place to go lately with the resurgence of Hollywood, as far as Hollywood and Highland, the big shopping center, and
right.
they just opened the W Hotel last
Very
week,
nice.
I believe. So this place, East, is supposedly fusion, small plates, Asian, but the decor, it looks gorgeous. So I'm very
oh fun
interested in trying that out. But I will say, unfortunately, like we were talking about taking care of your employees, we went. I don't want to name the restaurant because I think it was one of those things. But
right.
it was a celebratory evening, and the waiter was just not present at all. He was there physically, but his mind was elsewhere.
Mm.
And it has to be, the experience was so bad as far as the service that I, especially at a celebratory event, and my husband went over to the maitre d' and asked him, are you slam, meaning is the waiter, did he get seated too many tables
right.
and he can't accommodate them, for those that know what slam means. And so
right.
the maitre d' said no. So my husband says, well, I've owned some restaurants and you got slammed. And then the maitre d' says, well, yes, we did. So why would you lie to a customer when the customer who is having this experience realizes, you know, something's not right?
Right.
And so you just got to say, I apologize, yes, whatever the reason is, and say, I apologize for the experience. And
right.
be on top of it.
Well, I think, you know, it just comes down to the whole customer service thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think, I truly believe that customer service needs to be taught.
Yeah.
Truly. I don't know if we have a new theater here in L.A. It's called Gold Class Cinemas, and it's all the rage. We have Arclight Cinema, which is a wonderful movie-going experience, where they're reserve seating. I don't know if you have this in Hawaii, reserve seating.
I know. Haven't experienced that
really?
Yet.
Really? Girl, you got to get back to the mainland where it's happening.
I know.
like the Arclight, it's reserve seating, and so you buy your tickets either online or at the theater, but they have a gift shop, and there's a restaurant/bar, so you can. It's a whole evening's experience. So this Gold Class Cinema has taken that concept one step further,
mm-hmm.
where you can have dinner while you're watching the movie. So
nice.
Tickets range from $22 to $29
uh-huh.
just for the ticket. And the screening rooms are much smaller. There's maybe 40 seats, and there are two seats together.
Mm-hmm.
Two seats on, let's say, one side, then there's a distance between the next two seats and the next two seats, so you have
mm-hmm.
a lot of space.
Oh, nice.
It's nice. I have yet to experience it because as an avid moviegoer, I've seen most of the movies that they're showing, but
mm-hmm.
the only caveat is that during your movie experience, there is a button on your table that you can press throughout the movie to
yeah.
have your server come in and bring you whatever you want.
Right.
Personally, that is something I wouldn't enjoy because I don't want to be disturbed during my movie experience.
Well, right, and then so have you done that? Have you gone and?
I haven't gone yet. I've been to the place to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bar and you can have dinner. I mean, I think the concept is interesting, and at Arclight they have a 21 and over theater. Depending on the movie that they show there.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring a cocktail into the theater,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. Instead of a
right.
water or whatever, you can bring your cocktail beverage, which I kind of like. But
yeah.
I don't want to be disturbed, and that's an awful lot of money, you know,
right.
to pay.
But
and
you know, here's what I say to you: try it first.
Here's what I know. It. I know, but our local food critic Irene Verbilla reviewed
yeah.
it, and she just gives it okay food. She said the food's okay. You know, it's nothing
right.
great. But so this is my theory is that if it's just okay food, what makes you better and different than anybody else is your concept. But your food has to be better. I guess it's an expectation.
Right.
But
you got to have good food. You got to. I mean, it's kind of across the board. You got to have the good food. You got to have the good service. It's got to be good.
You got to be good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What's our word for the day?
Got to be good.
You just gave us another word. See, it's too bad we didn't have, what's the mystery word? Call in now. Get the mystery word. And just win knowing that you've just gotten the mystery word.
Yeah, that's it. You get to, I think you
just
need to
know you got it. Why,
you know,
why do we have to validate people all the time? Here you win, brand new car, here's a vacation to Hawaii. Just knowing that you got an answer right should be enough.
I know. We talked about the whole incentivize thing.
Incentivize! That's
you gotta
the magic
incentivize
word.
Them. Incentivize your listeners.
Incentivize your listeners. It's like sanitize. That's the word I was thinking of earlier. Sanitize. Yeah, I kind of
it rhymes, but that's about it.
It rhymes, but it has a feel.
That's about it. Incentivize, sanitize, not going together.
Conceptualize, socialize, all the eyeses.
Right.
All the eyeses. Well, I guess I don't remember the theme of my show. This is so funny. But we were talking about itis. You know, all the words that have like bronchitis, mm-hmm. all the itises.
Yeah.
It was just... I just had to bring that up. It was just a moment. You know, I guess you
yeah.
had to be there. Had to be there.
It's an itis moment.
An itis moment.
Yes.
So what does the future hold for events specialists?
Well, we're looking for growth and constantly reinventing ourselves and definitely... have some fun while doing some business, and keep moving forward.
Do you have a show coming up in the near future?
No, I don't. I actually have been doing a lot of folks purchasing booths. I've been doing a lot more of that, and which is a good thing, too.
That's all good. It's the exchange of the cha-ching.
Yes.
Yes.
That exchange is a great exchange.
The exchange of the great exchange.
I
you heard it here, folks.
Exchange. Yes. Incentivize and the cha-ching exchange. It's a good
thing.
The
cha-ching exchange. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. The cha-ching
right here.
Exchange. Well, this I don't know where the 60 minutes went to. I think I could talk to you for 9 hours, but I know as the booth
subject
lady.
Subject to subject, yes.
Yeah, subject to subject. You have so many things to do, but... For all our listeners who want to contact the booth lady, Charlene Dove, you can ring her in Hawaii at 808-927-7543. And there is a little time difference, so
yes.
Be mindful of that. Or you can follow her on Twitter at boothlady at twitter.com, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to pick a magic number.
Yeah.
I'm going to say... 40,000. You have an additional 5,000 people.
Coming up? Is that what
I'm
you're
going to say that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And then also don't forget my website, the Expo Rentals. It's xporentals.com.
Yes.
In case you need to rent a booth, you can also purchase a booth. Just let us know how we can help you.
That's beautiful. I think that's – I like that.
Yep. So.
Boost, get boost, as we
get
say.
Get boost, there you go. Yeah, no, it's been great fun talking with you today. So
I know, I think it's a time, to chat and to find out all about all the beautiful things we did. And thank you so much for being on the show and for being my lovely co-host in our Serious Reservation segment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. You know, now you can, during your journey, you can fly to Israel and
go to Conceptix.
Well, that's the name of the company that provides the software.
Ah, okay.
So you'll just have to kind of
to
Google
the
them.
Different,
go onto
yeah.
their website and figure out where they are in
restaurants
around the globe. But I'm sure that will be coming here to the United States in some form or another, and I'm sure there is already something similar to that somewhere. I can't believe that the technology hasn't filtered down to one of the restaurants and changed the whole different kind of dining experience. Please give my love to your lovely daughter.
Will
and
do.
and put a little bug in her ear that we would love to have her on the show, and so we can make the Just Peachy or the baby doll.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much, Tucci.
Thank you.
Thank you to all my listeners for tuning in. And I will see you next time, and I look forward to finding comfort in your own shoes.